Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd. I'm wondering if you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. As you can tell, I am. Today in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we have quite a lengthy passage, and it's about Samuel rebuking Saul and then some battles. Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become obnoxious to the Philistines. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Aven. When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor.' So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah in Benjamin. And Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. Saul and his son Jonathan and the men with them were staying in Gibeah in Benjamin while the Philistines camped at Michmash. Raiding parties went out from the Philistine camp in three detachments. One turned towards Orpha in the vicinity of Sha'al, another towards Beth Horon, and the third toward the borderland, overlooking the valley of Zeboim, facing the wilderness. Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel, because the Philistines had said, "Otherwise the Hebrews will make swords and spears." So all Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plow points, mattocks, axes, and sickles sharpened. The price was 2/3 of a shekel for sharpening plow points and mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening forks and axes, and for repointing goads. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. In this passage, Saul is about to go to battle with the Philistines, and he feels desperate. He's waiting on the prophet Samuel to come to sacrifice the offerings to the Lord, which is a reminder of their need for God. But Saul in his haste. Well, I have to identify with him a little bit. He said he waited 7 days. That's what Samuel had told him, but he didn't wait on the Lord long enough, or perhaps he just had in his mind that this was some kind of ceremony, some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a good luck charm to offer these offerings. But in reality, it should have been a testimony to their dependence upon the Lord. And so when Samuel arrives right after Saul has sacrificed the offerings, he is not happy at all. In fact, he tells Saul that he can't believe what he has done, and because of his disobedience to the Lord, he will not be the king and his line will not be the king forever. And so we all know that that means that David is going to enter the story. But it also, I identify with Saul. I feel sorry for him in this situation. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you're like, okay, God, are you going to come through? Are you going to come through? And then you wait and you feel disappointed, and then you take matters into your own hands. This is a warning to us. Lord, help us not to take matters into our own hands, but help us to wait on you and to trust in your word and to faithfully obey. From Psalm 21 today, we read in the New Living Translation, a psalm of David for the choir director. How the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord! He shouts with joy because you give him victory, for you have given him his heart's desire. You have withheld nothing he requested. You welcomed him back with success and prosperity. You placed a crown of finest gold on his head. He asked you to preserve his life, and you granted his request. The days of his life stretch on forever. Your victory brings him great honor, and you have clothed him with splendor and majesty. You have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. The unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling. You will capture all your enemies. Your strong right hand will seize all who hate you. You will throw them into a flaming furnace when you appear. The Lord will consume them in his anger. Fire will devour them. You will wipe their children from the face of the earth. They will never have descendants. Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed. For they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. Rise up, O Lord, in all your power. With music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. Now we open up the New Testament to the book of James, chapter 3, and I'm reading from the New International Version. And this is a passage about taming the tongue, and we really talk about how hard it is to tame the tongue. But as I read, I ask that you would pray alongside, that God would do a miraculous work within us to help us to be a people who only bless with our mouths and do not curse. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I want to continue on with the alphabet as we pray through the attributes of God and think on the Scripture in connection with who God is. Will you pray with me? Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, we cry out to you. Thank you for the reminders that you are present with us. You are a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lead us, Lord Jesus. You are our Messiah. You're majestic and magnificent and merciful, and you are the maker of our mouths. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to tame the fire, that you would quench the fire, that you would help us to be a people who bless and do not curse. And most of all, Lord, we bless your name because it is the name above all names. And nothing is impossible for you. Your love is never failing. You are the overcomer. You're omnipresent. You're all powerful. And you are always working for our good and for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.